Pleasant good morning. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here today. We hope that you will open your Bibles with us as we look to God's Word. We're all looking at a new year in front of us. And I find it interesting that growing up, many of us read books and watched shows about the future. Maybe you were required to read in school the novel 1984, with Big Brother, who saw everything we did and controlled everything. I remember as a child, I was fascinated with a TV show that came out. It was called Space 1999. It was a colony on the moon. Stupid show. maybe you can remember the movie 2001, A Space Odyssey. And people look to the future and fantasize. And we see all kinds of shows like that now. And we see books about all of that today. There's architectural concepts or new car concepts about where the future of cars are going to go. And design for the future. We recognize the fictional quality of most of these things. And yet, it's still difficult for us to wake up and realize we live in 2025. Because I still kind of want to think like that guy from the past, you know? Some years stand out in our memory. I remember the year I graduated from college, got married, and got my first job. I remember the first year we had a child in the home. I'll always remember 1998 as the first year I started preaching full time. What are we going to remember about 2025? Most of us have already made some resolutions for this year since we're already on the fifth day of the month. Hope you haven't broken any of those resolutions yet. According to Mr. Webster's dictionary, a resolution is a firm determination, a decision about future action. So many of those things are physical in nature that we make resolutions about. I'm going to lose weight. Very popular. I'm going to create some financial success or financial changes in my life. I'm going to purchase a home or pay off my home. I'm going to maybe learn something and complete an education aspect of my life. In Acts chapter 11 and in verse 23, Barnabas has been sent by the apostles to the city of Antioch where the gospel was being proclaimed. Acts 11 and 23 says, when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. That's a resolution. Be resolved to remain true to the Lord. I want to suggest some resolutions that I think all of us can make for this year that would cause 2025 to stick out in our mind as a year worth remembering. I'm resolved no longer to linger in the world. We sometimes like to linger in the world, don't we? I like the way the hymn says that. We don't desire to stay in the world. We know we're just passing through, but sometimes we want to linger. It speaks of a distraction from where we're going, a slowing down to observe something, a turning of the head to investigate. And I think we've all experienced some lingerings of that sort. Let's resolve that in the coming year, we're not going to linger. We're not going to be charmed by the world's delights. We sometimes allow ourselves to be mesmerized by unrighteousness. Its appeal is the desire to the flesh and the eyes. And we can't linger on those kinds of thoughts because once we stop to linger, we're going to be more prone to participate. And we all know that. So we got to stop the lingering. Matthew 26 and verse 41 says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus is telling us that. He's the only one who lived without sin, but he knew the flesh was weak. And we know that too. Lingering in the world is not so much a result of the world's influence on us as a result of our own desires. When I go shopping with my wife at Walmart, I tend to linger in one section of the store, and she tends to linger in other sections of the store. Does that work in your household? She has no desire to accompany me to the hardware section, and I really don't want to go look at the women's clothing with her. That's kind of normal. My desires are not that way. And sin's the same way. When the desire is in us to linger, we often will. When the temptation doesn't appeal to us, we tend to move right past it. Problems arise when we begin to linger around temptation, or maybe if we said it better, we allow the temptation to linger around us. Look with me in your Bible at Romans chapter 7, and beginning in verse 22. Romans chapter 7, and in verse 22, Paul writes, "For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other with my flesh, the law of sin." I think every person ever born understands exactly where Paul is going with this. We can relate to what he is saying here because we've all been there. "I'm doing the very thing I hate," he says, "because there's sin in my members." We've allowed ourselves to linger, and we've succumbed to the temptation. How much better off we would be if we would resolve today that we will no longer linger in the world, but instead set our mind on the things above. I believe that's a good resolution we can all make. A second resolution: I'm resolved to follow the Savior. And we have to be faithful and true to Him every day. Living the Christian life is a day-by-day experience. We might could say moment-by-moment experience, even. We face the temptations and the trials one day at a time. In Matthew 6, in verse 34, Jesus says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What I've got to deal with is today. Today's trouble. Today's problems. Today's temptations." So we have to be honest with ourselves every day. We can't follow Jesus and fake it. We can't deceive ourselves, and we will if we're not careful. So we have to be certain to deal honestly with ourselves at all times. We can't assume that we are right. We must know assuredly we are right. We have to admit to ourselves when we have gone astray and we're not living the way God wants us to live. In James chapter 1, and verse 23, it says, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does." It is by continuously comparing our lives with the perfect mirror of God's Word that we're going to know when we have strayed from the truth or when we have kept the truth. And that will enable us to make corrections.
but I'm only going to do that if I'm honest with myself. If we're not honest with ourselves in an inward man, then we're not following the Savior. We're just deceiving ourselves. Being faithful to God is the only way we can be and be one who is following the Savior. Jesus was obedient to God, even to death on the cross. In Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 8, Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 8, Scripture says, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Jesus was obedient to God, just as I'm supposed to be obedient to God. We see this principle brought out again in Romans chapter 6, and beginning in verse 16. Romans 6 and verse 16. Scripture says, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either of sin resulting in death, or of obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So if we desire to mold and fashion ourselves into the image of Christ, we have to start with obedience from the heart. Yes, obedience that the world can see is important. But they're going to see that if we're just obedient. We don't need to try to be obedient for that reason. It's the wrong reason. What we need to be is obedient when the world can't see it. When no one else can see it. If we're not obedient when no one else is around, are we following the Savior? Scripture would say no. The inward man is what needs to be reformed. We desperately need to mortify the desires of the flesh and replace them with godly passions. True obedience every day is required to follow the Savior. And I submit that's a good resolution for this year. Third resolution that I would recommend. I'm resolved to enter the kingdom. Some can make that resolution because they've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Again, a resolution is a firm determination about your actions in the future. Have you determined you want to enter the kingdom? Acts 2 and verse 41 tells us those that gladly received the word were baptized. And in verse 47 of Acts 2, Scripture says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Entrance into the kingdom occurs when we are obedient to God's instructions. He's commanded that each of us believe that Jesus is the Son of God, repent of our sins, confess to men that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized for the remission of our sin and into Christ. And we are then added to the church, which is his kingdom. If you are in that position, I urge you to make this resolution that you will enter the kingdom. Most of us assembled here have already made that decision. What we need to resolve is to remain in the kingdom. Just because God has added us to the church doesn't mean that we're always going to be part of his church, or that we're going to be saved. Apostasy is a fact. We can see how Judas fell away. We can see what's written about Demas and having left Paul and having seemingly left the faith. We can see Peter denied Christ three times. We can see Thomas not believing that Jesus had resurrected till he could see it for himself. We need to understand apostasy is possible for you and me. We can't assume we're going to be saved just because we understood the teaching of God as he instructed it. If we stop applying the truth to our life, apostasy is inevitable. Paul speaks about the struggle he had of keeping himself that he would not be disqualified. If an apostle could be disqualified, certainly I and you can be disqualified. How much more we need to be certain to keep ourselves in the kingdom. Apostasy is caused by several things, as taught by Scripture. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, Demas fell away because he loved the present world. Stephen's audience in Acts chapter 7 and verse 57 stopped their ears to his teaching. Their heart was hard. They didn't want to hear the truth, much less do what it says. 2 Timothy 4 and 8 speaks of those who resist the truth. There's a lot of other things Scripture says that I'm not going to have time to contemplate with you at this moment. The Bible also teaches us safeguards against apostasy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 16, it tells us that all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God's word is a safeguard for us. God has given us this written word to help us, that we might know and safeguard ourselves from falling away. So regular study from the Word of God helps prevent apostasy. But when things like reading my Bible stops or diminishes, apostasy becomes more likely. So I urge you to read your Bible regularly, habitually, not just when you're at the assemblies. Read it in your home. Listen to it in your car. Give attention to what God's Word says. Think about it and apply it in your life. Turn with me and look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's read a few verses here by way of reminder for ourselves. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Second Peter 1, verse 5 says, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." If we are applying these things in our life, if you can see these things all taking place in your life, we're not going to fall. This doesn't speak of the impossibility of falling in this text. We're certainly going to be less disposed to falling if these are the things we are actively involved in and doing in our life. Similarly, I'd have you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at what Scripture says in verse 13 and following. Ephesians 4 and verse 13. God has equipped the saints for the work of service, verse 13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we're to no longer be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Again, this thorough understanding of the principles of faith enables us to be led astray by false doctrine. We're not going to succumb to that because we know what God has said. And we're going to grow up into all things into Christ. We're going to become mature. That's a safeguard against apostasy. Become mature. Might we say become more mature even. And Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20 is a very familiar passage to most of us, where Paul relates the principles of what we call the gospel armor. Some would even say we have grown tired of that passage. We're so familiar with it. We don't hear it anymore. We don't bring it to mind like we ought. Have we put on all of the armor of God? The purpose of that armor is to protect us in battle, that we might not fall in this spiritual battle. To remain in the kingdom of God, we need to be those who are wearing the armor. These safeguards, and there's many others in Scripture, these safeguards that are spoken of are for our benefit. They help us that we not fall away. Unless we are willing to admit the possibility of apostasy, we're not going to put much attention to the things these passages say. And if we could admit that I can fall away, then those passages ought to be ripe in the front of our mind, constantly thinking about those things and being careful to safeguard our soul in the ways that God has told us. Resolving to enter the kingdom or to remain in the kingdom, I believe that's a noble resolution that we can make. At this time of year, when resolutions are being tossed about by everyone, we need to consider the more important things of God and become focused on those things. We can resolve to no longer linger in the world. We can resolve to follow the Savior. And we can resolve to enter or remain in the kingdom. Lastly, for my lesson, we can resolve to hasten to Him. Resolutions don't have to take a year to be accomplished. We can resolve to accomplish things quickly. In Matthew chapter 24 and in verse 42, Jesus says, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into." Knowing that the judgment awaits us, we would do well to hasten while God has given us the time to respond. So it's time for each of us to decide. We're all likely making resolutions for this year. Are you going to make resolutions about your service to God? I encourage you to think on those things today. Will 2025 stick out in our memory as the year we committed ourselves to God in a firm and even stronger way than we had in the past? If you're not a Christian, will you obey the gospel and enter the kingdom through belief and repentance and confession and baptism, as Scripture tells us? If you have obeyed the gospel but you've fallen away, will you return to Christ? Return to His arms where He comforts us? It's your decision to commit to the Lord. I urge you today to be resolved and to make this known by coming before this body of people, making your resolutions known. If we can help you in any way, respond to the gospel message as we stand and sing to encourage.